Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back for our final installment of a very special, very thoughtful, as always, and very illuminating conversation with Robert Spencer, the author of about 15 books, including, most recently, Confessions of an Islamophobe. You can find his writings at jihadwatch.org. Robert, I did want to pick up with you on a point we've discussed before, and that is, I find the term Islamophobe not only to be insulting, but to be so pejorative, because, of course, it defined in a traditional sense of the term phobia, talks about an unreasoned fear of something. And you assuredly have no unreasoned fear of Islam or Sharia or any of the various things that flow from it. And I did want to just invite you to talk about why you would confess to being an Islamophobe, since what you're dealing with, what you're trying to help all of us deal with, is a perfectly reasonable, indeed absolutely necessary, reaction to the mortal peril that those who seek to force us to submit through violent kinds of jihad, or as you say, seditious, stealthy jihad, or other techniques to this brutally repressive, totalitarian, misogynistic program of theirs. So what's up with a confession of an Islamophobe?
Frank, I couldn't agree more with everything you've said. The whole term Islamophobia is a propagandistic invention designed to intimidate people into fearing to oppose jihad terror and the Sharia oppression we've been discussing. And so I suppose that might make you even more puzzled as to why I titled the book this and why I'm saying, yes, I'm an Islamophobe, but it's precisely because of the way that the term is used. Take, for example, President Trump's recent retweets of three entirely accurate videos of Muslims behaving violently. And he was roundly denounced, even by the Prime Minister of Great Britain, for retweeting these videos. And he was denounced as an Islamophobe, and they were called anti-Muslim videos.
Were they, in fact, entirely accurate? I thought that was part of the beef, was that, in fact, they were not only sourced from what was considered to be a disreputable political group in Britain, but also that they were misrepresented as from certain countries or involving, in fact, Muslims. Is that not the case?
Yeah, there was one where there was a quibble, where it was labeled as being Muslim migrants beat up a Dutch teenager. They were actually native-born Muslims, the children of Muslim migrants. That seems to me to be a distinction without a significant difference.
But aside from the quibble, the rest were legit.
Yeah, you have a Muslim smashing a statue of the Virgin Mary, and that's an anti-Muslim video? No, that's a Muslim being violent. It's actually noteworthy that all three. Yeah, precisely. And it's noteworthy also that all three of these videos were shot by Muslims and circulated by Muslims because they were proud of the activity. It's only when non-Muslims pick it up that they become anti-Muslim videos. But the point is that if opposition to that kind of behavior is Islamophobia, as it was roundly denounced as being when Trump retweeted these videos, then every sane person ought to be an Islamophobe. If the left really wants to play this game and say that it's Islamophobia to oppose jihad terror and to oppose Sharia oppression, to oppose the institutionalized oppression of women and non-Muslims and gays and Jews and so many others in Islamic law, if that's Islamophobia, then yeah, okay, everybody ought to be an Islamophobe.
But most of us shrink from being accused of it. And again, feed into this sense, I think, of those who wield this as a weapon, this term Islamophobia, as submitting, and therefore emboldening them to become even more aggressive. One place in which that's playing out, Robert Spencer, of course, as you know so well, is the determination of the Muslim Brotherhood, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, and Sharia-adherent groups and communities around the world to suppress what we think of in the United States, what is constitutionally guaranteed here as freedom of speech. They consider certain practices, namely those that they believe are offensive to Muslims, to be, in fact, Sharia blasphemy and must be prohibited and punished severely. Robert Spencer, what are the implications of this particular form of submission, whether it's by the EU or the U.S. Congress, for that matter, when it comes to conforming to the dictates of the OIC and Muslim Brotherhood?
Well, the OIC wants to eliminate anything that is essentially a violation of Sharia blasphemy laws. Sharia forbids criticism of Islam. And so when, for example, there were cartoons of Muhammad printed in Danish newspapers, and then the world press, instead of standing for the freedom of speech, actually said that they were not going to reprint the cartoons in solidarity with the Danish paper, even though there were Muslims rioting about this, but they were going to not print them out of supposed respect for Islam. This is just reinforcing the idea that in the first place, Muslims can get what they want by rioting and intimidate us into obeying Sharia blasphemy laws, but it's also the imposition of those laws as the Western press essentially just submits.
Western press and governments, unfortunately, as well. Speaking of which, Robert, I did want to ask you about the circumstances in which Nikki Haley, our ambassador to the United Nations, has just had to exercise a rather infrequent veto on the part of the United States in response to the entire rest of the UN Security Council denouncing President Trump for having had the temerity to regard Israel's capital as Jerusalem and to take the sovereign step of putting our embassy in that capital city. This is infused, needless to say, if not motivated, in part at least, by the violence that has happened or that is predicted to happen. Talk a little bit about that syndrome of reinforcing the idea that they'll get their way if they just act in a violent way or even threaten to do so.
Yeah, you know, Frank, that's why I think that President Trump's move of the embassy and his recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel is world historical on the level of Ronald Reagan saying, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall, because he is standing up to the violent intimidation. Remember that everybody told Reagan before he said that, oh, you can't say that. You'll just get the Soviets angry, and this will just cause more trouble. And he said no, he was not going to submit any longer to this bullying. And Trump is essentially saying the same thing. Bush, Clinton, Obama, for years, they have not recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital because they were afraid Muslims would riot. And Trump is saying, you're going to do what you're going to do, and you have the responsibility for that, but we are not going to let terrorists determine where our embassies are. And it's exactly analogous to what we were just discussing about the violent intimidation. The Sharia supremacists work on the basis of intimidation. It's one of their favorite tactics, and they try to intimidate people into doing what they want. And for the most part, the West just falls into line. The Western press fell into line over the cartoons. It always works.
One of those it does not work with, thank God, is you, Robert Spencer. It is one of the reasons I regard you not only as a great friend and colleague, but a hero in this war for the free world. And I am so appreciative of you taking the time on the eve of Christmas to spend an hour discussing the challenge of our time, specifically that posed by the Sharia supremacist. And I commend to our audience all of your writings and books. Check them out at jihadwatch.org. Robert, Merry Christmas to you. I hope it is a good one and that we will spend a lot of time together here on the radio as elsewhere on the occasion of the new year. I hope all of you will come back to us again tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.